The struggle is real. The struggle is real. I couldn't come up with an introduction to this sermon, because if you just experienced the week that we've had, there's no need for an introduction, right? The struggle is real. That's all I can say. And the question that we bring to the scripture today is, how do we survive? How do we survive in a hostile world? How do we survive in a world that is hostile toward God and toward His purpose and toward life and toward all that is good? How do we survive? How do we survive in this world? That is the question that we bring to the Lord this morning. And there's something that we can learn. There's something that we can learn as we observe what the Lord did in the life of Joseph. And so open your Bible and turn with me to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, beginning at verse 1, 1 through 6. Let's read the scripture. You can follow along on your screen as we do. This is the word of God. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had brought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. And from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. How do we survive in a hostile world? Well, the first thing that God wants to show us from his word this morning, the first thing God wants to show us is that we have to shine the light. We have to shine the light. And before you can shine the light, first you have to face the darkness, right? First, you have to see these difficult words right at the beginning of what we read. And it says this: Joseph had been brought down. Joseph had been brought down to Egypt. He was stripped and separated from his family. He was robbed of his freedom. He was treated as property, like an animal. He was brought into this dehumanizing system of slavery in Egypt, and he was told that he was worth nothing, and he was treated without dignity or respect. Joseph had been brought down. And I want us to think about that first off. How have you been brought down? How have you experienced the darkness of this hostile world? Have you experienced it this week? Have you experienced violence? Have you experienced poverty? Have you experienced racism and crime and addiction? Have you experienced a poor education? Have you experienced lack of health care? Have you experienced social inequality? Have you experienced the own tortures of your own soul? Have you experienced mistreatment? Have you experienced anger? Have you experienced lust? Have you experienced the darkness of this world that we live in? Joseph had been brought down to Egypt. And as I think about the darkness, there's usually two ways that we respond to it that are bad. Both are bad. And they're two different ways. And the first way we often respond to the darkness when we see it, when we're gripped with it, when we're faced with it, is that we go into one, either denial, where we just sort of stick our fingers in our ears and pretend like it doesn't exist, pretend like it's not real, pretend like it will just go away if we avoid it, if we ignore it. The world really isn't as bad as God says it is. We deny it. Another way we respond to the darkness is not by denial, but by despair. That we despair, we go into a fetal position, we go into a cave, and we bury ourselves in our grief. We go into deep despair and we cry out, the world is beyond redemption. There is no hope for anything. There is no hope for any of this. There is no hope for me. Let me just die. Let me just curse God and die as Job's wife told him to do. We either go into denial or we go into despair. But brothers and sisters, those of you listening in, God gives us a different way to deal with the darkness. Shine the light. Shine the light that God has put in you by His grace in you, by His redemption in you. In the darkness, shine the light. Jesus said that His followers are to be what? Salt and light. Salt is a preservative, and light helps people see. Don't we live in a time and a day where people need to be preserved? Don't we live in a day and a time where people need to see? And brothers and sisters, God has called you and He's called me to be the light bearers, to bring the light of the Lord to this world that we live in, into the darkness. And look what it says here. It says the Lord was with Joseph. See, that's the Lord. It's His light. It's not your light. You don't have to muster up light. No, you just have to be with the Lord. You just have to be with the Lord, and the Lord will always be with you. He always will be with you despite the hard conditions of his life. Joseph was with the Lord, and the Lord was with him. And we see in this beginning of this passage, we see how Joseph lived out the light that God had poured into him. And we can look at it through a New Testament lens of the fruit of the Spirit. Look, the Lord was with Joseph, and so he bore the fruit of love for his enemies. He bore the fruit of joy in the tasks of mundane life. He bore the fruit of having peace in hardship. He bore the fruit of having patience in suffering. He bore the fruit of having kindness in return for hate. He bore the fruit of goodness in his work. He did a good work. He bore the fruit of gentleness with his tongue. He bore the fruit of faithfulness to the Lord's will. He bore the fruit of self-control in all things. And because of that fruit, because Joseph shined the light of the presence of the Lord in his life, as a result, life in a hostile world begins to see the truth. Light in a hostile world, even if it doesn't see the truth, begins to benefit. It begins to benefit. Look at what the Lord tells us here. It says, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. The Lord blessed the enemy. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Joseph became successful, the scripture tells us. He became respected. It tells us he found favor with his master. It reminds me of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet would write to the exiles later. Years later, and he would write to them, he would say, okay, you've been taken away, you've been held captive, but here's the word that God has for you. Seek the welfare of the city into which I have sent you into exile. God says, I have sent you into exile. Seek the welfare of that city. This is how the world, which is hostile to God, and hostile to all that is good, this is how the world experiences the grace of God. They experience the grace of God through your unmerited acts of kindness and grace toward them. When we show kindness to even our enemies, the Lord is exalted and people get a glimpse of something different than how the world operates, because the world operates by returning anger for anger and violence for violence. But God says no. God says, peace I give you. My peace I give you. And the Lord sends us out into this dangerous and hostile world to be His agents of grace, to show the world what God's love looks like. And it will not happen if you believers don't do it, if you don't go like Joseph into the dark places of pain, into the places of rejection, and show the grace of God in the way that we relate to others. This is how the world experiences God's grace. But don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. There's something very important that we need to remember before we move on. Don't get it twisted. No matter how high Joseph rose in the ranks of Potiphar's house, no matter how successful he became, Joseph was still a slave. Let that sink in. Joseph didn't want to be in Potiphar's house. Joseph wanted to go home. Joseph wanted to go and see his father. No matter how high he raised in the ranks of Potiphar's house, Joseph was still a slave. He was still in pain. He was still suffering. Don't get it twisted. This story is not about rising to power. This story is about faithfulness in the midst of incredible suffering. In the midst of incredible suffering. And doesn't that speak to our existence today? Doesn't that speak to our lives today? We can't just say, let's all get along. We can't just say, let's have peace, go in peace, be well fed. Can't we just have Christian unity? No, we have to deal with the realities that we face in this hostile world. And just to be real, what that means is we have to not only be real about the spiritual struggle, we have to be real about the cultural struggle. We have to be real about the reality that in this hostile culture that we live in this hostile world that we live in, some are valued more highly than others, just like the Egyptians were valued more highly than Joseph and the other slaves in their culture. So how can we as Christians, how can we shine the light? How can we shine the light today? And look, the first thing is to recognize the darkness. It's to recognize the darkness, to recognize the ways in which this hostile world impacts not only your life, but the lives of your neighbor. Especially your neighbor who doesn't look like you. How does the darkness manifest? How does the evil of this world manifest in their life? Whether they're a Christian or not. And we need to recognize that. We need to recognize the darkness. And then God says, now, you get it, shine your light. God says, shine your light, serve the least of these. God says, extend kindness. Extend kindness to others. God says, patiently endure. God says, walk in gentleness, even in your righteous anger. Walk in gentleness. God says, like He did to the church in Ephesus, in your anger, do not sin. You see, God wants us to be angry. God wants us to be righteously angry, but He doesn't want us to sin in our anger. That's how we give grace to people, is we show them the hostility of the world against God, against the things of God. We show it to them. And yes, it means that we're going to be good and angry. And we show the world what real love looks like. We show the world what real love and real community and real fellowship looks like, not just within the church, but as as Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Not just your fellow church member, but your neighbor as yourself. God wants us to lay down our rights, lay down our power in order to walk in humility. That is another way we can shine the light in this world, by walking in humility, by recognizing our own pride in so many ways, and by laying it down, by saying, Lord, take it from me. To live our lives coram Deo. It's a Latin phrase, coram Deo, and it means before the face of God. You see, because when we shine our light before men, what we're really doing is we're shining our light before the Lord. Because He's the one who has given us the light. We're living our lives coram Deo before the face of God, not to impress people, not because of some sociological experiment, no, not because of some political movement. No, we live our lives before the face of God alone to honor Him. We have an audience of one. How do we survive in a hostile world? How do we survive? We survive by shining the light into the darkness that we recognize. And then we not only shine the light, but we resist evil. We resist evil. Let's look at the next section of Scripture, beginning in the last part of verse 6. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you're his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to even lie beside her or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the other men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. How do we survive in a hostile world? We have to shine our light, yes, but we also have to resist evil. And before you can resist evil, you have to recognize evil. You have to recognize it. The scripture says, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph. And yeah, he was good looking. But you know, everyone wants to be admired. And this attention that he was getting from the master's wife, the most powerful woman in the entire household, it must have appealed to Joseph. It must have appealed to this man who had been despised and hurt and rejected. And there must have been something to it that someone was expressing his worth and showing an interest in him. Sometimes it's hard to recognize evil because it masquerades as good. Complimenting someone is a good thing, but is there evil masquerading behind the compliment? You see, we as human beings, we fallen human beings, we take good things and we make them God things. We take good things like pleasure and possessions and power, and we take these good things that are given to us by God and we turn them into God things. We turn little things into ultimate things. We seek these things, pleasure and possessions and power, above God. And when we seek things above God, it becomes evil. It becomes twisted. It becomes idolatry. So we're going to look at each one of these forms of evil within the story. And the first that I want to focus in on is the evil of forbidden pleasure. The evil of forbidden pleasure. And someone once said, how do you get a kid to eat his vegetables? Well, you tell her she isn't allowed to eat them. See, that's reverse psychology, right? No, you can't have vegetables. And it's, when you tell a child you can't have something, it's the one thing they want, right? Remember, God told Adam and Eve, you may eat of any tree in the garden except for the one tree. The very tree that they wanted to eat from. And it's the same evil temptation that is brought to Joseph here by Potiphar's wife when she says, lie with me. Because when he looks at everything in the house, Potiphar had given him reign over everything in the house except for one thing. The very thing that she wickedly tempted him toward. And in a slave culture, this would have been common practice for a master or a master's wife to take advantage of their slaves physically. Appealing to his sexual desires, but appealing to secrecy. No one's going to find out. But really abusing him. Abusing him. We'll get into that more in just a moment. How did Joseph resist this temptation? How did he resist this evil of forbidden pleasure? Well, there's several ways that he did, but I really want to focus in here on one, and it's simply this. Joseph devoted himself to a greater pleasure. The way that he resisted the evil of forbidden pleasure was by focusing himself on a greater pleasure. For example, I've heard that one of the ways you can quit smoking is by taking up exercise. Studies show that even short periods of physical activity, especially cardiovascular exercise, can reduce the urge to smoke. And so what are you doing there? You're taking one desire and you're covering it over with an even greater desire. A greater pleasure than forbidden pleasure. Look at what Joseph says here. He says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? See, he has a greater pleasure. Joseph has a greater desire, a greater pleasure than the fleeting forbidden pleasure that's being offered to him by Potiphar's wife. See, Joseph loved the Lord. He loves the Lord so much that he doesn't want to do this, what he calls great wickedness and sin against God. Man, what a perspective. That is how we can resist evil. We can resist evil by having a greater pleasure. By having a greater pleasure. But what about the evil of possessions? What about the evil of what I might call hoarding or keeping possessions? You see, Joseph, he had risen above all the other servants, and you might consider him a house slave. If you think about the history of slavery, especially in the American South, there were field slaves and there were house slaves, and Joseph was a house slave. He had risen to the top. He was given wealth. He was given a share in all of the good of his master Potiphar, and the temptation for him was to keep his possession. The temptation for him was to stay in line. The temptation for him was to cut corners, and the temptation for him was to compromise in order to maintain his wealth, in order to keep his possessions. God says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and we see that in this temptation. Because refusing Potiphar's wife was not just refusing pleasure, no. It was risking everything that he'd worked for. And so in order to resist the evil of possession, to resist the evil of hoarding and keeping possession, what must we do? Well, the first thing is that we must recognize the true source of all of our possessions. We must recognize the true source of all of our possessions. And remember what the Lord said, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And so all of these things that are his, he knows that they're not his by his own will or even the will of Potiphar. They're his because of the will of the Lord. He recognizes that the true source of his possessions is the Lord. And because of that, he's willing to lose them. He's willing to lose them. He's willing to risk losing them to honor the Lord, his great pleasure, because he knows that everything he has comes from the Lord. And so why would he seek to please a man or a woman or even himself when his goal is to please the Lord? He is willing to lose it all. And man, isn't that an image of the Lord Jesus, who gave up the glories of heaven to come to this earth to become flesh and dwell among us and suffer and live a righteous life and die on our behalf? Isn't that what Jesus did? He risked, he gave up all of the pleasures of heaven to come and to give it up because he knew that it all came from his Father. And he knew that it could all be restored. We resist evil of forbidden pleasure. We resist the evil of hoarding possessions. And we resist the evil, lastly, of seeking power. We resist the evil of seeking power. Look at what Joseph says in his defense. He says, Potiphar is not greater in this house than I am. Wow! This servant is so advanced in the ranks that he knows, he's not boasting, it's a fact, he is not greater in this house than I am. Joseph has gained incredible power in this household. He has gained incredible power in this household, but he knows this power is built on a shaky foundation. He knows that the power that he's built is built on a shaky foundation, the favor of his earthly master. And he knows that that is a shaky foundation. So maintaining power for Joseph means keeping his master happy. And not only keeping his master happy, but yes, keeping his master's wife happy. Notice what it says. Right at the beginning of this section, the second part of verse 6, it says, Joseph was handsome. It doesn't say that Potiphar's wife was attractive. I just want to give a shout out to Micah Edmondson, a fellow pastor who I was listening to his sermon. He pointed this out, that Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife because she was attractive. What he was really being tempted by in the final analysis is that he was being tempted by her power. He was being tempted to maintain and seek and advance his power in this household. He was attractive. She took notice of him. It doesn't say the opposite. Consider the power dynamic at play here. Potiphar's wife, even though she's a woman in an Egyptian household, she has all the power. She has all the cards. And her power is rooted in her Egyptianness. Her power is rooted in her status, in her cultural superiority in that culture. It's rooted in her Egyptianness. And Joseph is tempted to seek that power. That's a temptation. She's basically saying to him, you can be Potiphar. There's only one thing that you lack to be Potiphar? It's me. Take me. The temptation is to seek the power of Potiphar. To seek power. And so, isn't this one of the core temptations in the garden? When Satan, disguised as a serpent, tempted Adam and Eve, he said, God's lying. In the day that you eat of it, you will be like God, right? You will be like God. He's tempting us with the power of positioning ourselves as if we are God. And so many false religions today are claiming that you can have the power. You can be a little God. You can be a great God. You can be whoever you want to be. That's the religion of our day. There's nothing new. It's at the heart of this temptation. It's at the heart of this evil that this woman is tempting Joseph with. You can be like God. And so how do we resist the evil of seeking power? How do we resist the evil of seeking power? How do we resist? How does Joseph do it? It says he refused. He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't say, let me think about it. No, he met evil with an outright refusal. He said, I will not do this. I will not do this great wickedness. I will not sin against God. He refused. He refused. And you and I need to refuse those who tempt you with power. When the boss says, cut some corners, or else. Do what I say, or else. We need to refuse, trusting that God is the one who really has all the power. God is the one who has all the power. God is the one ordering our lives, not our willingness to embrace evil so that we can succeed. Consider what God does with his power. He creates, he gives, he serves, he lifts up, and he rescues. How do we survive in a world that is hostile toward God? We shine the light. We bear the fruit of God's Spirit, and we resist evil. We resist it wherever we find it. And lastly, we trust the Lord. We trust the Lord. Look at me. Look with me at verse 13. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called to the men in her household and said to them, see, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that, I lifted up my voice and cried out. He left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house. Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. And she told him the same story, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you've brought among us came in to me to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house. As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, this is the way your servant treated me, his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. How do we survive in a world that is at enmity with God, in a world that is in opposition to God? How do we survive? We shine our light. We shine the light. We shine the light, we resist evil, and we trust the Lord. And before you can trust, first you have to understand the struggle. You have to understand the nature of the struggle in this world that is hostile to God. Because even when you've done everything right, even when you follow the rules, even when you comply, even when you shine the light, even when you've resisted evil, Joseph did all of these things, didn't he? He did. And yet he was falsely accused and he was sent to jail. He did everything right. He did everything right and he still goes to jail. That is the world we live in. That is the evil of this corrupt and this world that is at enmity with God, that is opposed to God. The struggle is real. The struggle is real. And look how evil Potiphar's wife is here. She says, "See? He brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came into me to lie with me." Look what she does. She turns the whole situation upside down. She accuses Joseph of doing the thing that she did, of instigating the entire thing. She expressed her hatred toward him. And she uses this language of Hebrew. And what we need to know, and when we see Hebrew, we think of it as nothing, right? But in the context of the Old Testament, Hebrew was a derogatory racial slur. Hebrew, the word Hebrew was like the N-word of the Old Testament. Look at what she says. She says, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought among us came in to laugh at me." She says it twice in here. You see what Potiphar's wife is doing? Even though she is physically weaker than him, she exerts her cultural and racial power, her muscle. She exerts it to oppress Joseph, to get back at him, to get what she wants. And brothers and sisters, this is nothing other than satanic. It is nothing other than satanic. If you've been following the news, this very dynamic has been on display this week in the news. Now, we saw an example, didn't we, of this very dynamic happening in the Central Park confrontation. A white woman was walking her dog off leash in an area where dogs are supposed to be on leash. And a black man who was out bird watching asked her to, you know, follow the rules. Put your dog back on a leash. But she refused. She was acting entitled. She was acting out of her sense of self. She refused to do the right thing. And then she said, and this is the kicker, she said that she threatened him and said, "I'm going to call the police and I'm going to report that an African-American man is threatening my life. That a Hebrew is threatening my life." She used his race as a weapon against him, just like Potiphar's wife did all those years ago. She actually did call the police. And they responded to a, quote, "possible assault in Central Park. This could have turned deadly." Thankfully, it did not. But we don't have to look far, do we? We don't have to look far for times that it did. We live in a hostile world, friends. We live in a hostile world that sets itself up in opposition to God. A world where the wicked prosper. A world where the person doing the right thing goes to jail. And for us, this can be overwhelming and it can be discouraging and it can send us off into denial or into despair. But this is exactly where God wants us. This is exactly right here today is exactly where God wants us to trust Him. This is where God wants us to trust Him. This is why God sent Joseph in His providence by the hands of wicked people into a prison so that the Lord could be with him and so that whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. You see, as we read this story, we got to remember Joseph is not the main character. Joseph is not the main character. The Lord is the main character. Over and over, four times plus four more times where it says, the Lord blessed, and it says the Lord was with Joseph four times. Throughout everything, it's a constant refrain. The Lord is at work. The Lord is working in and through the struggle, in and through even the evil of this world. The Lord is at work. The Lord is with him. We will survive in this hostile world by trusting in the Lord. By trusting in the Lord who has gone before us. You see, the first audience of Genesis, they were wandering in the wilderness behind their leader, an Egyptian prince formerly named Moses. And as they're reading this story, as they're sharing it with one another, they must have wondered, God, have you abandoned us like you abandoned Joseph? And yet as they read the story and they see that even in prison, the Lord was with him, their faith must have been boosted. This is a story of redemption, a story of God's faithfulness to his people who are living in a hostile world. And isn't this the story of the whole Bible? Isn't this the story of where this is all heading? To Emmanuel? To Emmanuel, which means God with us. It all points to Jesus. It all points to God coming into this hostile world. Coming into this hostile world and letting the crosshairs of this hostile world aim directly at him. God himself, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, who in his life suffered, in his life overcame every temptation, in his life was falsely accused and wrongly convicted, in his life who was sent to death, not to rot in a jail, no, but the death, the brutal death of the Roman cross. You see, he is with us in it all. He is with us in it all and through it all. And Jesus overcame. Because of his goodness, because of his righteousness, Jesus overcame every evil power. He overcame everything that sets itself up against God. Jesus succeeded and he defeated sin and even death itself in his resurrection in the person of Jesus Christ. God is with us. Even today, the Lord is interceding for us from heaven. That means he's praying for you. Right now, whatever you're going through, he's praying for you. He's praying for you that your light might shine. He's praying for you that you might resist evil. He's praying for you that you might trust in the Lord. God is with us in the struggle. God is with us in the struggle against evil and against this hostile world. Don't be discouraged. When troubles come your way, he'll bear all your burdens. Turn all your night into day. We have come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. Trusting in his holy word, he's never failed me yet. He's never failed me yet. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the way that you have ordered it so that this passage was on the docket today. Lord, we thank you for your, Lord, we thank you for making a way for us. Lord, we thank you for giving us the encouragement that you are with us through the hardest days, and that we don't have to deny it, we don't have to despair, but we can trust you. More and more each day, we can trust you through the pain, through the struggle. You never failed us yet. We love you, Lord. Amen.